Yeah, what I thought we'd do first is, let's see, why don't you talk for just a minute and just see if that's going to pick you up.
Okay. You know? Well, we can either talk about the family history and Dad and his family and Sammy and her family. And then I guess I think one time you said you wanted to get some stuff on tape, my Army service.
Yes, sir.
And so we can sort of keep them separated there and not mix them up too much. It'd be easier to...
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's start. I'd like to kind of start with you, Dad, and, you know, now just kind of start with your childhood and, you know,
okay,
when and where you were born and all that.
Okay. Well, I was born at 303 Adams Street in Houston, and big old two-story white house. Mom and Dad had moved to Houston from Palestine when Dad was transferred to the railroad company as an engineer, and they ran this boarding house there. There was a bunch of young men that worked at the Ford plant that was just down the street on Harrisburg there, about five blocks from Adams Street where the house was. And these young men lived there in the house and got their meals with the family. And Bonnie was senior in high school when I was born. And Marie, of course, was about a year and a half older than her. And she still hadn't married, so that both sisters were still single. Jim was still single, and he worked at the Ford plant with Lee Metter, who later on married Marie. And so then I lived there at on Adams Street until I was about five, I guess. Six, when we moved out to Park Place. And we lived there on where, right close to the Gulf Freeway now. At that time, it was the interurban line that ran from Houston to Galveston. And when they disbanded the interurban line, why, they put the Gulf Freeway right down the right-of-way of the old interurban line. I wish they had kept the old interurban. That was and it would have been great to have it now. But getting back to the family.
So your house was right there where the Lang's Pharmacy.
Pharmacy, that's right. And faced on Park Place Boulevard. I can remember the Christmas that Bonnie and Bob married, that I got a cap pistol. And of course I was up bright and early Christmas morning. And we had a big hedge that ran alongside between the sidewalk and the street. And I went out there with my cap pistol, had caps loaded in it and everything. And this old man came driving down Park Place Boulevard in this old car, and I jumped out from behind the hedge with that gun and fired that cap pistol about three times, and he nearly run into the ditch. Oh boy. Yeah. I had great times. There was a little boy lived around the corner named Steve Durst, was my good buddy. And one of the funny things that happened that I remember about Steve, but we decided that we was gonna parachute off the garage. So we got this umbrella and we thought that would be our parachute and we could jump off and just float down to the ground. We nearly broke our legs, but some of the stuff that kids will do, I tell you. I remember a place there on Park Place Boulevard where it wasn't a barn, but it was more or less like a chicken house with a room built on the side for storing tools and feed. And I asked Mom if I could use that room for my clubhouse. I got in there and tried to clean that thing up, and it was hot. Finally, I gave it up as a bad deal. Try something else.
So now, what was your dad doing at that time? Was he working?
He was still active on the railroad. This was shortly before he was taken out of the service because of that defect in the muscle in his left arm. He was on a run from Houston to Freeport, and it was during the time that he was on that run, we lived there, that I made the trip with him in the cab of the engine down to Freeport. And he had a little, since he'd go down one day from Houston to Freeport and spend the night and then come back the next day from Freeport to Houston. why he found this old truck chassis, and Dad, being a good carpenter, decided he'd make him a little mobile home on that old truck chassis, and he'd have a place to stay, you know, while he was in Freeport. At a place there right close to the roundhouse where the train engine was. And he fixed that thing up, and he had a bed and stove and water facilities in there, you know, so he had a good place to stay when he got. He could get in about 12:30, 1 o'clock during the day, and then only about 150 yards back of where the little mobile home was, Brazos River. He'd go down there and fish. So the day that I went with him, we went down and fished in the old Brazos River. Didn't catch anything, but we had a good time.
Okay. And so then, what school were you going to when you...
Oh, I started school at Park Place.
Park Place Elementary.
Elementary, yeah. Same one you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there until I was in the third grade, and then that was when Dad had to sell the place on Park Place Boulevard, and he was taken out of the service. And in effect, he probably lost most of his investment in that thing. And we stayed 2 or 3 months there with Bonnie and Bob on Sherman Street, and then during the summer went on up to Grandma Thompson's place at Jacksonville, and I lived there. We lived there while I was in the fourth grade, and then we moved to Slocum, and went from the fourth grade through the eighth grade at Slocum, and then we moved to Palestine.
When did you move to Palestine?
1937.
And so you were 15?
I was a sophomore. I started my sophomore year in high school, so I must have been about 15. And then I went 9th, 10th, and 11th grades and graduated Palestine High School. Okay.
So then, where did y'all live in Palestine?
Well, when we first moved there for about 5 months, we lived in a duplex there just coming into town on the South Highway from Elkhart,
mm-hmm.
and then had a chance to rent this whole place out there that we call the Gamble Place. It belonged to Mr. Boyne Gamble, and about 3 miles out on the Jacksonville Highway.
Now, was that the Rock House?
No, it was across the highway from where the Rock House is, and when I finished high school, Dad had decided that he would, a lot of people urged him to get into politics and run for office, which he did, run for the county tax assessor and clerk in Anderson County, and was elected. And he told me if I'd help him campaign that summer after I finished high school, was when the election was to take place, that he'd help me get to go to school. And so, boy, I turned politician, going door to door, campaigning for Dad. And so one time come to it was after I finished high school, and the first summer that I was finished my freshman year at A&M, that he decided to build the little rock house. He bought that about, I think it was 17 acres over there across the highway, and there was an old colored church house and school there on the property, just dilapidated and deserted. Nobody was using it at the time. So it was torn down, and then he contracted to plans to build the Rock House. And actually, the Rock House, as it was completed, was only intended to be the garage. When the foundation was poured, it was going to be the garage and workshop, and the house was going to be built in front of it. But then World War II came along about that time, and he couldn't get the materials. They were frozen and everything, and he couldn't get enough materials to do what he wanted to. So he had to just makeshift and make a house out of what, that's reason it was small.
Hmm.
And it had this one big room to start with, and a kitchen and bath separate, but the rest of this sleeping area and living area was all just one big room. We put curtains around, you know, the bed. And then during the war, while I was in the service, while he added on an extension, he was able to add on an extension out there and make another bedroom separate on the end.
So now, when y'all were living there, how many people were living in the house?
Just Mom and Dad and myself. And by that time, Marie had remarried, married Mr. Patton, and mm-hmm. moved to Jacksonville. So Jimmy was living over there then, and I was in the shipyard at Portland, Oregon. So it was just Mom and Dad and me before I went into service.
Now, when y'all were having all the adventures, you and Lee and Jimmy, now,
yeah.
Where were y'all living?
We were living in the Gamble place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were living there when they came to live with us. And this is when a lot of funny things happened.
And now, how long did y'all live at the Gamble house?
Well, let's see, from the time I was in halfway through the ninth grade, 10th, 11th, 12th, about 3.5, 4 years.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, what do you want to know, some of the...
Well, now, were y'all all living there and going to the same school and all
well,
that?
Well, I was in, when they first came, I was in the seventh grade, and Jimmy was in fourth, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to what was called Norwood School, Jimmy and I did, for at least 1 year. Then the next year, while I was a freshman in high school, went to Palestine High School with me.
Mm-hmm.
I was a junior, and... he was a freshman, and then when I was a senior, of course, he was a sophomore, and Jimmy was still at Norwood School, but there was a little, we rode a bus, and we called the Little Red Chicken Cup, because it was just a, it was a pickup truck that had this bed built on the back, covered, you know, and everything, had a little door you go in from the back, step up in, and had a seat right down the middle, and then seats on the side, on each side, mm-hmm. So there was three seating areas. And it'd get pretty crowded. We made a swing around. We'd pick us up down at Mr. Burke's there on the highway. And then we'd swing around to Norwood School and drop the younger kids out there. And then on swing on around by the Meadowbrook Golf Course and back downtown to the school, to high school. And so then we, like I say, go to the Little Red Chicken Cup to school.
So now y'all were going, now, were they living with y'all in the house?
Say? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, see.
So y'all...
Marie was working at the state hospital over at Rusk.
Okay.
And so she only got to come home about once a month.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so, actually, see, Ira and Jimmy at that period in their lives were just... my dad was just like their dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because even though he was their granddad,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of fun, and some of the things that we used to do when we were there. Of course, kid, at that time there was no television. And for a while we didn't even have a radio. But then Marie finally saw to it that we got a radio, and we ate that up. We listened to the True Detective Mysteries and the Inner Sanctum and Lights Out. And, oh boy, we really listened to the radio. But Ira and I used to sort of impose on Jimmy, and because he was the smallest one. But we, on cold winter days when we couldn't get outside and play, well, we played Arthur's a lot.
Arthur's card game?
Uh-huh. And Jimmy, a lot of times, couldn't pronounce a lot of the names. He called David
Copperfield.
He called him David Copperfield. And... let's see, what was some of the, I'll try to think of some of the names that he called, but anyway, he seemed like he was lost most of the time, and it would make him mad, and Lee would just when he'd see Jimmy was getting mad, why he'd clear his throat, he didn't have to say anything, and boy, he'd be fighting mad, and... But and then his way of calling us a name was he'd call us a thief. I don't know where he'd come up with that. But another thing we used to do when we were playing was we'd play ball, and Jimmy would be the batter, and I'd pitch, and I was a catcher. And so we'd broadcast like we were on the radio, and Ira and I both be broadcasters, you know, and we'd say, Little Meadows at the plate, and Thompson delivers the pitch, swinging strike one, and then swinging strike two, and swinging strike three, he struck him out, and boy, he'd get mad. One day we let the ball get away from us, and it rolled down into an old well that was there on the place. It was dry. There was no water down the bottom of the well, but gosh, it was about 16 feet deep. or more. And it's a wonder we haven't killed Jimmy, because we put him down. We told him since he let the ball go between his legs and it rolled in the hole that he was going to have to go in there and get it. And we took an old rope and tied sticks of stove wood in it about 18 inches apart for a ladder and let that kid down in that old well. It's a wonder he was killed, just, you know, mm-hmm. could have caved in. It wasn't curved up or anything. Mm. It was a dirt well. Boy, I sort of shake every time I think about it now. But anyway, when we'd play football, why, we'd broadcast again. And we'd know that one of us was going to have to center the ball to him. And so if the other one, me or Lee, was playing on the left side of the center, then we knew he was going to run to the right, because that was where nobody was. So automatically, which one of us centered the ball would immediately turn to that direction to get him. And so we'd say, single wing back to the right, Little Meadows the tailback. The ball is snapped, he starts off to the right, and he's smeared behind the line of scrimmage. And then when we had the ball, of course, it was a touchdown every play, and we'd broadcast a long touchdown pass. And I'll tell you, that kid was raised with adversity, boy. Mm-hmm. And we made a deal with him. One of the deals we made with him in the morning, we had to make up our beds and fix our lunches and milk the cow. So Lee and I got together and we persuaded Jimmy that it would be a good deal for him, that we'd make up all the beds and fix the lunches if he had milked the two cows. And so here he'd go out there on. He bought it. No crying sinking. We made it sound like it was such a good deal. So here he goes in that old robe that he had drug the ground. He had that big milk bucket, about as big as he was. But he'd go out there on those cold mornings and milk those cows. We should have been horse with. But let's see, some of the other things we had a deal fixed up down behind on the barn. The hill sloped off and some rocky areas down through there, and we played cowboys and Indians and build forts. We'd haul those rocks and build those forts. One we hadn't got bitten by a copperhead, we were pulling those rocks as much as we did. So we'd cut trails down through the woods, you know, branches that would be in our way, where we could gallop along, and we had rubber guns. A rubber gun where you use an old inner tube and cut.
Oh, yeah.
And bullets, and they'd shoot about 20 feet maybe. And we had a lot of fun. We had each one of our trails named. We had the Wyoming Trail and the Santa Fe Trail, and had them all labeled, you know. Well, boy, we had a time playing. And let's see, what was some of the other stuff? Oh, on days when we didn't have any running water in the house, had what deep well, had to draw water up from the well. And wash day, I had this big old iron, cast iron pot that we'd boil the clothes in, and then we'd have to draw off water in my number three tub to for rinse. Mm-hmm. And then we had another water in number three tub that was called bluing water, that was to help the white clothes, towels, and sheets.
Like
and all
bleach or something?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then we'd hang the clothes on. We had one big long clothesline, and then we hung a lot of the stuff on the fence, mm-hmm. barbed wire fence up there. And shoot, Dad and we three boys would do the washing, and then we'd cut wood. And I know one day we were down in the woods cutting wood, and the axe slipped, and mm-hmm. hit him along right along here. Boy, made a deep cut, and didn't have any car or anything. Dad used one of his home remedies, where he'd take a Packer's tar soap and take his knife and scrape that soap shavings and put it in there, and made a poultice on it. First of all, he washed it out with rubbing alcohol, and boy,
gosh.
But you know, if he hadn't have it, yeah. probably mm-hmm. gangrene. But anyway, Lee and I still talk about that, about the fact that it's a wonder he hadn't lost his leg,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
from infection on that thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, let's see. When did you start playing basketball in school?
In my sophomore year, I tried to went out for the team in Slocum. When mm-hmm. I was in last year, I went to school out there in the eighth grade, and the coach told me I was too little. I hadn't really started growing, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was the next year then that I started growing. Got to Palestine High School and started. I was in a physical education class one day, and I got there early, and I took the basketball and was shooting mm-hmm. goals, you know. And just so happened, Palestine basketball coach happened to come by, and he said, "What's your name?" I told him. He said, "I told him I'd live out of Slocum. I just moved in Palestine that year." He says, "You ever play basketball out there?" And I said, "Well, I've tried, wanted to, but the coach told me I was too little." And he said, "Well, you're not too little for Palestine." He says, "We're going to start practice day after tomorrow." I said, "I want you out there." And boy, boy, you talk about being on cloud nine. I was on cloud nine.
So did you get on the team?
Yeah, boy, I made the squad my sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was issued that jockey satin sweatsuit with Palestine Wildcats on the back and number 33 on the front, boy, I was in hog's heaven.
So what position did you play?
I played a combination guard and forward. Played guard most of the time. Point guard.
Mm-hmm.
And bring the ball up the court.
Mm-hmm. And so you played from your sophomore year to your senior year?
Senior year. Played 3 years.
Hmm.
And the senior year, we were in what was known as the old East Texas High School League. There was Palestine, Jacksonville, Tyler, Henderson, Carthage, Nacogdoches, Lufkin, and Livingston. And we played a round robin home and home series in that league. This was in addition to the Texas Interscholastic League playoff, which we played the county champion, district champion, and then on the regional and the state.
Mm-hmm.
But this East Texas League came down to the end of the season where we had won six. I see, we were 6-1. We had lost to Lufkin. And Henderson was 7-0. And we had to play at our court.
Mm-hmm.
Had to play at our court first, and then at Henderson the second game. In other words, we had to win both times to win the championship because we were one loss and they had none. So we had lost two of our starters at midterm my senior year, and so they cut down on our reserves. The guys that were coming in as reserves had to move up to the starting position. So we had five guys that were good ball players, but we didn't have any help coming from the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to play the whole game. See?
Oh.
We went into that game against Henderson at Palestine. I had 7 points in the final quarter. And they scored 13 points in the final quarter, and we scored 6. So it was tied up at the end of regulation. Play went into overtime. Neither team scored in the first overtime. And with about 5 seconds left in the second overtime, they hit a long shot. And so we lost that one in double overtime. I think I had 15 points. And that was the only game, incidentally, that Mom and Dad got to see me play in my whole high mm-hmm. school career because they didn't have any transportation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I did feel like they got to see a good sample mm-hmm. of what I could do.
What were some of your favorite subjects in high school?
Well, I loved history
mm-hmm.
and geography. I guess in high school, my favorite subject, I enjoyed, like I say, Texas history and United States history and all of European history, too. We had an old maid lady that was the history teacher. Her name was Lorraine Scott, and she used to enjoy some of the things that I was interested in, you know, in history. I was really, I guess, mostly interested in Texas history about that time. Felt like that I knew all the military situations and battles. I could tell you how many soldiers fought on each side and what their objective was and who their commander was. And real history nut,
mm-hmm.
but I guess maybe I should have followed the history when I went to school, but